Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Pamela Aldridge. It's now time for Simply the Truth, brought to you by In His Hands Global Ministries. Every Wednesday at 7:45 a.m. on your radio dial 1570 WBGX. Thank you for joining me this week for our message entitled, Where Are You? And our text is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and it reads, But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Friends, I want to tell you a story on this day that the world calls Easter. And if I were telling it from the world's perspective, I would be speaking about rabbits and bunnies and eggs. But our text tells us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God? You say, why do you call Jesus the Lamb of God? Friends, because back in Israel, in the Old Testament, in order for the people of God to be forgiven of their sins, they had to bring to the priest a lamb. The lamb had to be the firstborn lamb and one that was perfect without any spots or blemishes. They would offer the lamb up as a sacrifice for their own sins. Now, the priest would take the lamb and slay it and sprinkle the blood of the lamb over the people. And this lamb's blood would symbolize the cleansing and purification of the people from their sins. Well, friends, Jesus, who was the first begotten Son of God, was slain and shed his blood for us, that we, through faith in him, would be cleansed and purified from our sins. So on a Friday, Jesus died a gruesome death as the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus knew no sin. In other words, in all the 33 and a half years that Jesus walked the face of this earth, he never sinned. He never told a lie. He never dishonored his mother or father. He never stole, slandered, gossiped, or even cheated. No, never abused anyone, not one soul. Jesus was the only man ever to live who never committed a sin. And that's why he was eligible to be the sacrificial lamb. My friends, but Jesus had so many haters. Why? Because he was walking in all the counsel of God the Father. He was filled with the Spirit of God and had the favor of God upon his life. Now, some of you too are filled with the Spirit of God and sure enough have the favor of God upon your life. That's why you have haters. They can't stand you because you're favored. They can't stand you because you're anointed. They can't stand you because you're going someplace. They can't stand you because God has a plan for your life that's going to take you to places that you can't even begin to think of or imagine. And I need to ask you today, where are you? Am I talking about you? Friends, haters see your future before you do. Now, I'm here to tell you today to let them hate. As a matter of fact, you need them to hate. You need them to do their job because they are the ones that's going to help you to get to your purpose. Jesus had a Judas. Without Judas backstabbing Jesus and selling him out to the Jewish leaders and councils, Jesus would have never gotten to that cross. And without the Pharisees being so envious and hating Jesus so much that they wanted to kill him, Jesus would have never gotten to the beating block where he received the beatings and the 39 stripes that would seal our healing. It was the haters doing what haters do that God used to accomplish his plan. So I say to you today, where are you? The Bible says if all men are speaking well of you, then you must not be doing your job. If ain't nobody got a problem with nothing you say and nothing you do, then you need to check your faith and see if you're even in the faith. Where are you? If you ain't speaking the truth in love, then you're probably not making any enemies. Because my friends, let me tell you this, the truth hurts. I'm asking you today, where are you? I'm not talking about people hating you for doing bad stuff. I'm talking about people hating on you for doing good stuff. Jesus was walking around healing the sick and freeing people from their bondages. It's easy to be hated for doing something wrong or bad or sinful, but how about for doing good? How about for helping somebody that's being bullied? How about being hated for always being polite or saying no to the crowd that you're not going to get involved in their mess? How about people hating you because you're always taking the high road? And how about being hated for being like Jesus? God called us to be just like Jesus, to try in all things to emulate him. If Jesus had haters, think, my friends, it not strange that if you're acting like him, you too will have haters? Jesus said, if the world hated me, so too will he hate you. The more you act like him, my friends, the more haters you will have. Now, you're not called to be the sacrificial lamb that takes away the sins of the world, but you are called to sacrifice yourself, your desires, your wants, your needs for your brothers and sisters and for others. Again, I ask you, where are you? By the time the haters got done with Jesus, they had put a crown of thorns upon his head, spit on him, abused him, mocked and scorned him, stretched his body out upon a tree in the form of a cross, nailed his hands and feet to the tree, stabbed him in the side and given him vinegar to drink. They took his body, buried it in a grave, and that was that. So they thought. They thought they were done with him. They thought that they had done away with him for good. They thought that the king of the Jews was forever silenced. But I need to ask somebody today, where are you? Your enemies thought they had you. They thought they had tripped you up. They thought they had killed your spirit, killed your dreams, killed your hope. I pray that you have the testimony to be able to say, think again. The haters were in for a rude awakening, my friends. In comes the ladies of our text. These women wanted to put some spices on the dead body of Jesus. It was the custom in Israel to wrap the body in spices and then lay it to rest forever. However, when these women got to the tomb, not only did they find the tomb wide open, the stone had been rolled away. The main problem they had anticipated to be in the way, the thing that would hinder them from getting to the body of Jesus, was no longer a problem. They had full access. I need you to get this today, friends. You too now have full access. Can't nothing prevent you from getting to Jesus? Not having a big enough house, not living in the right neighborhood, not having the right job, going to the right school, no lack of experience. Nothing, my friends, I say nothing can keep you or separate you from the love of God. I'm asking you today, but where are you? Friends, you have access not to the dead body of Jesus, but to a God who's alive. The verse says, why do you seek the living among the dead? I pose the same question to you today. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Too many are looking for life amongst the dead. Anything, my friends, anything that's not in God or of God is dead. If you're looking for happiness in a bottle or some weed, that's the dead. If you're looking to improve your life with money or clothes, that's the dead. If you can only see yourself being alive and complete when you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, that's the dead. If you feel you can only breathe when you have a lot of friends around you or you have the approval of the world, then that's a dead life. Why are you seeking life, love, and acceptance in the dead things and places of this world? I'm telling you today, stop looking in the wrong places. When things are out of sort and everything around you is tumbling down, everything is dead, nothing you do or say seems to work, you, my friends, are in a dead place and it's time to look to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. Friends, you can find life in none others. When you have fought with all your strength, when you have done all you can in your own power and might, when you have fallen into a pit and can't find your way out, it's time, my friends, to ask yourself, where am I? And get up, get out of that dead place. It's time to pick up your heavenly cell phone and FaceTime the Lord. It's time to spend some quality time in the presence of the Lord. Friends, Jesus already died and paid the price for all of your sins, all of your sicknesses and stresses, and he has even defeated death. Death has no more rule or reign over him. He's alive. He's resurrected. He is seated at the right hand of the Father praying for you that your faith fail not. There's no failure, my friends, in him. When you come into Jesus, you are alive. My friends, choose him today. He's alive to help you. He's alive to bring you up out of the muck and the mire. He did it for me and he can do it for you. He's alive to be your friend. He's not dead. He's alive to walk and talk with you. He's alive to share your life with you, your ups and your downs, all of your difficulties and challenges. He's alive to give you the best advice. He's alive, my friends, to impart his wisdom and knowledge unto you. He's alive to fill your spirit with more of him, more of his power, more of his anointing, more of his favor, more of his peace and joy. He's alive, my friends. He's alive. He is alive. Where are you? My friends, Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And friends, I want to say this to you. If you're in a dead place, it's because you choose to be there. Jesus made a way out for you. He's giving you a way of escape. He's not dead anymore. Neither are his ears deaf to your problems or concerns. He's right here, ready to help you. The Bible says that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Whatever you need, my friends, he can handle it. It's time to do a real assessment to determine where are you. Get out of that dead place. Get away from those dead things. Leave the dead people alone. You're not the walking dead. You've waited on other people too long. You sacrificed going forward, waiting for some other folks to catch up too long. I'm telling you, my friends, come up. Because of what Jesus did for you, you too can be alive in Christ. If you don't feel alive, he's just waiting for you to cry out to him. It's time to know him. It's time to put your hands in his and don't look back. Friends, it's time out for straddling the fence. I'm in. I'm out. I'm committed. I'm not. I'm alive. I'm depressed. I'm healed. I'm not. I believe. I doubt. I stand. I fall. Where are you, people of God? Where are you? Our text says that Peter went away marveling at what had happened. We too should be marveling at what Jesus did for us, marveling at his goodness, marveling at his great sacrifice, marveling that no man took his life, but he gave it up for us. We should be marveling at that while we were yet sinners, he died for us, marveling at not just his death, but the great price that he paid upon his own body, his own emotions, his own spirit. But marveling, my friends, at the fact that he rose again, marveling that he didn't stay in the grave, but he got up with all power in his hands, marveling, my friends, that he's alive, alive to heal, alive to comfort, to change your life, to bring peace, to transform you into the image of his dear son, Jesus. He is alive. And I pray, my friends, that he's alive in you. I ask this question one more time. Where are you? I pray with all my heart that you're in Christ and alive and well. If you're alive, I need you to tell somebody. I can feel him in my hands and my feet. I can feel him all over. Where are you, friends? Alive and hidden in Christ Jesus through his blood sacrifice, through his death, burial, and resurrection. In the name of Jesus, come alive. Be alive in Christ Jesus today. Amen and amen. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Simply the Truth broadcast with Pastor Pamela Aldridge, brought to you by In His Hands Global Ministries. For more information, prayer, or comments, please call us at 312-893-7532. That's 312-893-7532. Or visit us online, simplythetruthbroadcast.com or ihhgm.org. Also, Pastor Aldridge invites you to worship with us on Sundays at 12 p.m. at 6054 South Damon Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, in the Lindblom Park facility. We hope that you have been blessed by today's broadcast. We invite you to join us again next week, Wednesdays at 7:45 a.m. for the Simply the Truth broadcast on the Big Gospel Express, WVGX AM 1570.